A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Your backup philosophy is solid. If it's not automated, it's not happening. But here's the thing. Daniel's running into right now. He's shooting casual tech videos on his phone, uploading raw to a YouTube channel called Daniel's Tech World, and he's fine using YouTube's compressed version as his backup file. The NAS isn't set up yet in the new apartment. So the question is, how do you build a pipeline that detects a new upload on a specific channel, downloads it automatically, pushes it to Wasabi, and optionally pulls it onto a NAS? And then, where do you actually run this thing?
The trigger detection is the hard part. The download and upload pipeline? That's straightforward. But knowing that a new video exists on a specific channel in a way that's reliable and doesn't cost you anything, that's the bottleneck that determines the rest of the architecture. And Daniel's right to frame this as a worker problem, because fundamentally you're asking, what's the cheapest, most reliable, always listening thing that can fire off a download job?
Before we go further though, is this backup or is this archival? Because those are different things. Backup implies you'd restore from it. Archival implies you just want it somewhere safe.
It's backup with a lower SLA. Daniel's explicit about this. These are second priority videos, shot on a phone, no editing. He's not keeping the raw files. If YouTube's compression is acceptable as the canonical copy, then the goal is getting that compressed file off YouTube servers and onto storage he controls. The automation is the insurance policy, not the quality guarantee.
Fair. So let's walk the pipeline. Step 1, trigger detection. How do you know a new video went live on Daniel's Tech World?
YouTube has an RSS feed for every channel. The URL format is youtube.com/feed/videos.xml with a query parameter for the channel ID. This endpoint has been stable since 2010. It's undocumented. YouTube doesn't advertise it, but it works and it's been working for 15 years. Every time a channel publishes a video, that feed updates within a few minutes.
And this is free? No API key?
Completely free, no authentication, no quota. You just fetch the XML. The feed includes the video ID, title, publish date, and a link. You parse it, extract the video ID, compare it against a list of IDs you've already processed, and if it's new, you fire the download.
So the polling approach is just a cron job hitting that RSS feed every 15 minutes. What's the catch?
The lag. The feed can be 5 to 15 minutes behind the actual published time. For a backup pipeline, that's nothing. Nobody needs their backup the millisecond the video goes live. The bigger catch is that if your cron job fails silently, script crashes, machine goes down, network blip, you miss the window. You need idempotency and a persistent record of what's been processed.
And the alternative to polling.
YouTube's Data API version 3 has a search.list endpoint where you filter by channel ID. That's the official documented way. But it costs 100 quota units per request, and the free tier gives you 10,000 units a day. That's 100 requests per day. If you poll every 15 minutes, you burn through your entire quota in 25 hours. You'd need to poll much less frequently, or pay for more quota. The RSS feed has no limits.
So the RSS feed wins on cost and simplicity. What about webhooks? Daniel mentioned wanting to be notified rather than polling.
YouTube doesn't offer native webhooks for new uploads, period. The closest thing was PubSubHubub, now called WebSub, where you could subscribe to the RSS feed and get pushed updates. But most feed readers and providers dropped support in 2023 and 2024 because it was unreliable. The subscriptions would expire silently. You'd think you're getting notifications, and you're not.
So the thing that sounds modern and event-driven is actually the flakiest option.
Polling the RSS feed is boring, but boring is what you want for backup infrastructure. It's deterministic. You can see when it last ran. You can test it. You can alert on it.
Alright, so detection is solved. Cron job, RSS feed, 15-minute interval. Compare against a SQLite database of processed video IDs. Now the download step. What does that actually look like?
TELP. It's the active fork of YouTube DL, and as of mid-2026, it's handling YouTube's latest signature cipher changes. The key flags you want, -F for format selection, --output for naming convention, --no playlist, so it doesn't try to grab an entire channel if you accidentally point it at a playlist URL, and --limit rate to avoid YouTube throttling your IP.
Give me the command.
EADLP-F, and then in quotes, best video, square bracket height, less than or equal to 1080, close square bracket, plus best audio slash best, square bracket height, less than or equal to 1080. Then --output with a naming template, something like %channel/%uploaddate_%title.%ext, --no playlist, --limit rate 5m, and then the video URL.
And that naming convention gives you a clean directory structure per channel with the date baked into the file name.
Right. And that matters when you're doing multi-channel backups with different policies. You can route based on the channel name in the path.
What breaks with IDDLP?
YouTube changes their player code frequently. IITDLP has to reverse engineer the signature cipher each time. The maintainers are fast, usually updates within a day or two, but there are windows where downloads fail. You need retry logic. Exponential backoff. If a download fails, wait 5 minutes, try again. If it fails again, wait 15. After 3 failures, log it and move on.
And the upload step?
rclone or the AWS CLI to Wasabi. Wasabi is S3 compatible and their pricing is $5.99 per terabyte per month with no egress fees for the first 3 times your stored amount. For backup, that's ideal. You're uploading a lot, downloading rarely. rclone has a --progress flag and a --checksum flag that verifies the file landed intact. The command is basically rclone copy, the local file path, the Wasabi remote, and the bucket path.
And then the NAS pool?
If the NAS is on the same network as wherever this script runs, you can do an rsync or an rclone copy directly from the Wasabi bucket to the NAS mount point. If the NAS is remote, you pull over SSH. Synology has cloud sync with native S3 support. You point it at your Wasabi bucket and it syncs. But that's a separate step from the core pipeline. The core pipeline is detect, download, upload. The NAS pool can be its own scheduled job.
So we've established the detection and the pipeline. Now the question Daniel actually asked, where do you run this thing? Home server or serverless?
Let me kill the serverless idea right now. Cloudflare Workers. The free tier gives you 100,000 requests a day, which sounds great, but the CPU time limit is 10 milliseconds per request. You can get that waived to 30 seconds on paid plans. 30 seconds. A 10-minute video download takes minutes, not seconds. It's an IO-bound, long-running task. Workers are designed for lightweight request response, not for sitting on a socket waiting for bytes.
AWS Lambda?
15-minute timeout. 1 gigabyte of ephemeral storage. A 30-minute 4K video download can easily exceed both. Google Cloud Functions is 9 minutes. These platforms aren't designed for video downloads. You're fighting the architecture the entire time.
So serverless is the wrong tool for this job.
It's the wrong tool. The right tool is a small, always-on machine, either a home server or a $5 a month VPS. A DigitalOcean droplet or a Hetzner CX22 gives you a full Linux environment, no timeout limits, persistent storage, and you can run whatever you want. For $5 a month, you get a machine that can handle this pipeline for dozens of channels.
And the home server argument.
If you already have a machine running 24/7, a Raspberry Pi 4, an old laptop, a NUSI, the marginal cost is zero beyond electricity. The downside is reliability. Your home internet goes down, the backup doesn't run. Your power blips, the backup doesn't run. A VPS in a data center has 5 nines uptime. For backup infrastructure, I'd argue the $5 a month is worth it.
What about the orchestration layer? Daniel asked about an infrastructural management platform for running multiple workers.
Start simple. A single bash script that crawls the RSS feed, parses it with a Python script, runs ITDLP, runs rclone, and updates a SQLite database. That script runs from cron every 15 minutes. That's it. That handles 1 to 5 channels without breaking a sweat.
But Daniel wants different backup behavior per channel, Different buckets, different format preferences, maybe different schedules.
Then you move from a single script to one config file per channel, YAML or JSON, and one cron job per channel. Each cron job points at its config, which specifies the channel ID, the target wasabi bucket, the format flags, the NAS path. It's still simple. You don't need an orchestration platform until you have 10 plus channels or complex failure handling requirements.
All right, but let's say you do want a platform. What's out there?
Hugin is the one I'd point to. It's an open source, self-hosted agent system written in Ruby. You deploy it via Docker. It has a built-in YouTube channel agent that pulls the RSS feed for you. You give it a channel ID and it emits events when new videos appear. Then you chain that to a shell command agent that runs your ITDLP and our clone script. The whole thing lives in a Docker Compose file.
And Hugin handles the idempotency.
It tracks which videos it's seen. Each event has a GUI based on the video ID. If the agent restarts, it picks up where it left off. It's not perfect, you still want your own processed ID database as a safety net, but it handles the basics.
What about NA10?
N8N is more visual, node-based. It has YouTube trigger nodes. It's good if you want a drag-and-drop interface. But for this specific pipeline, Hugin's agent model maps more naturally. Each channel is an agent, each download step is an agent, and they're loosely coupled. N8N tends toward monolithic workflows.
And the heavy hitters? Airflow Prefect?
Overkill. Airflow is for data engineering pipelines with complex dependencies and backfilling requirements. You don't need a directed acyclic graph to download YouTube videos. Prefect is lighter but still designed for data workflows, not simple cron replacement. You'd spend more time configuring the orchestrator than building the actual pipeline.
So the recommendation is, start with a cron job and a Python script. If you outgrow that, Hugin in Docker. Don't touch Airflow.
Don't touch Airflow for this. Save it for when you're orchestrating 100 data sources with retry windows and SLAs. This is a backup script.
Let's talk about resilience. What happens when things fail?
Three failure modes. One, the RSS feed doesn't respond. Your script should have a timeout, 30 seconds, and if it can't reach the feed, it logs and exits. Next cron run picks it up. Two, YitDelp fails because YouTube changed something. Retry with exponential backoff, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, then give up and alert. 3. The Wasabi upload fails. Our clone has retry built in with the dash dash retries flag. Set it to 3.
And how do you know if the whole thing has been silently failing for a week?
Health checks, Chronitor or healthchecks.io. Your script pings a URL at the end of each successful run. If that URL doesn't get pinged for 30 minutes, you get an alert. It's a dead man switch for cron jobs. Free tier on healthchecks.io gives you enough checks for a handful of pipelines.
That's the part most people skip. They build the automation and then discover it broke 3 months ago.
Every automation eventually breaks. The question is whether you find out from an alert or from data loss.
Let's get concrete about the multi-channel setup. Daniel has his main YouTube channel with edited content and this new Daniel's Tech World channel with raw phone videos. Different backup policies.
So, two config files. The main channel config might specify higher quality format flags, a different wasabi bucket, and a NAS sync step. The tech channel config uses the compressed version, a separate bucket, and maybe no NAS sync at all, just wasabi. Two cron jobs, two configs, same script.
And if he adds a third channel?
Copy the config, change the channel ID and bucket, add a cron job. The script doesn't change.
What about the Docker Compose approach? You mentioned a scheduled container.
You build a single Docker image with ITDLP, our clone, Python, and your script. The Docker Compose file defines a service for that image, mounting your config directory and a data directory for the SQLite database. Then you either run cron inside the container, or you use a separate cron container that Docker execs into the YitDelp container on a schedule.
The cron sidecar pattern.
Yeah, it's clean. The cron container just triggers. The worker container does the work. If you're using Hugin, it's even simpler. Hugin is the cron, and the shell command agent runs the script inside the same Docker network.
I want to circle back to something. The RSS feed approach, you said it's been stable since 2010, but it's undocumented. What happens if YouTube kills it?
Then you fall back to the data API. The quota costs money if you pull frequently, but for a backup pipeline, you could pull every hour instead of every 15 minutes and stay within the free tier. The trade-off is you might wait up to an hour for a backup to trigger. For second priority videos, that's acceptable.
So the RSS feed is a bet on YouTube not breaking a 15-year-old endpoint. It's a reasonable bet, but you should have the API fallback scripted and ready.
Write the script to try the RSS feed first, and if it fails three consecutive times, flip to the API. That's a weekend project, not a rewrite.
What about the legal angle? YitDelp has faced DMCA takedowns. The RIAA and others have gone after these tools. Are we recommending something that stops working next month?
YitDelp exists in a legal gray area. The tool itself is just a downloader. It doesn't circumvent DRM, it doesn't decrypt encrypted streams. It downloads what YouTube serves to a browser. The DMCA takedowns have targeted the repository hosting, not the tool's legality per se. The code keeps moving. New forks, new mirrors. As of July 2026, it's actively maintained and working.
But downloading your own content from YouTube, is that even against the terms of service?
YouTube's terms of service prohibit downloading content unless a download button is provided by YouTube itself. But here's the thing. Google Takeout lets you export your own YouTube videos. It's an official, supported method. The catch is, it's not real-time. You request an export, you get a zip file hours or days later. For backup, that's not automation.
So the official method exists, but doesn't solve the automation problem.
Right, and that's the tension. You own your content, you uploaded it, you should be able to retrieve it programmatically. But YouTube's API doesn't support that, and their terms prohibit the workaround. Practically speaking, individuals downloading their own videos for backup aren't the target of enforcement. The legal risk is near zero for personal use.
That's a reasonable assessment. All right, let's steelman the objection. Someone listening says, this is all too complicated. Just use Google Takeout once a month and call it a day. What do you say?
I'd say that's a valid approach if you're comfortable with a 30-day backup window. If you upload a video on day 1 and your channel gets terminated or hacked on day 29, you lose that video. The automated pipeline gives you a 15-minute backup window. The difference is whether you're protecting against hardware failure or platform risk.
And platform risk is real. YouTube channels get terminated by mistake. Accounts get hacked. Google's support is, let's say, not known for rapid human intervention.
The phrase you're looking for is automated enforcement with limited appeal paths.
That's the diplomatic version, yes.
Look, the pipeline we're describing isn't complicated. It's a cron job, a Python script, YitDelp, and rclone. If you can set up a VPS, you can set this up in an afternoon. The complexity isn't in the tools. It's in thinking through the failure pattern and building the resilience in from the start.
That's where most people stop. They get the happy path working and declare victory.
The happy path is maybe 20% of the work. The other 80% is what happens when the RSS feed is slow, YitDelp breaks, the Wasabi upload times out, the disk fills up, the cron daemon silently dies. That's the actual engineering.
Let's give the concrete recommendation. If Daniel wants to build this tomorrow, what's the path of least resistance?
Step 1. Spin up a $5 Hetzner or DigitalOcean droplet. Step 2. Install YitDelp and rclone. Step 3. Write a Python script that fetches the RSS feed, parses it with feed parser, checks a SQLite database for processed video IDs, downloads new videos with YitDelp, uploads to Wasabi with rclone, and updates the database. Step 4. Add it to crontab for every 15 minutes. Step 5. Set up a healthchecks.eoping at the end of the script. That's it. That's the whole thing.
And for multi-channel?
One config file per channel in a configs directory. The script loops over configs, or if you want isolation, one cron job per channel pointing at the same script with a different config flag. Both work.
What about the NAS pull?
Separate cron job on the NAS itself. Rclone sync from the Wasabi bucket to the local NAS path, running every hour or every day depending on how urgent the local copy is. Don't couple it to the upload pipeline. Let them be independent.
That decoupling is smart. If the NAS is off or unreachable, the upload to Wasabi still succeeds.
Each step should be able to fail independently without taking down the rest of the pipeline.
One more thing. What about the notification that a backup completed? Daniel didn't ask for it, but it seems like the kind of thing you'd want.
The health check ping tells you the script ran. For Providio notifications, you could add a simple webhook, a Discord message, a Telegram bot, an email. But honestly, for a backup pipeline, silence is success. You only want to hear about it when it fails.
The no news is good news model.
The only model that scales. If you get a notification for every successful backup, you'll train yourself to ignore them within a week.
All right. Let's land this. The architecture is RSS polling on a cheap VPS, etdlp for download, rclone to Wasabi, optional NAS sync as a separate job. Start with a cron job and a script. Add Hugin if you outgrow it. Serverless is the wrong tool. The RSS feed is the right trigger. And build in retry logic and health checks from day one.
Daniel, if you build this, share the config. The community benefits from battle-tested scripts, and the devil really is in the details. The exact ITDLP flags, the rclone retry settings, the SQLite schema, those are the things that take an afternoon of trial and error to get right.
The open question I'm left with is sustainability. ETDLP is a cat-and-mouse game with YouTube's engineering team. Google could decide tomorrow to break the RSS feed, or change the signature cipher in a way that takes weeks to reverse. The pipeline works today, but it requires maintenance. The question is whether that maintenance burden is lower than the alternative, manually downloading from Google Takeout every month and accepting the backup gap.
I think for the kind of videos Daniel's describing, casual, shot on a phone, second priority, the maintenance burden is worth it. You set it up once, you check on it when the health check pings you that something's wrong, and you fix it. That's maybe a few hours a year. Versus remembering to do manual backups, which humans are terrible at.
That's the core of Daniel's philosophy. If it's not automated, it's not happening. The automation doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be better than the human it's replacing.
The human it's replacing is future Daniel, who will definitely forget to do the backup.
Future Daniel is the least reliable person in this equation.
Present Daniel knows that. That's why he's asking the question.
Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for making this possible.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you build this pipeline, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'd love to see your configs and hear what broke in production.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.